Hello, you guys.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Episode 2.
Episode 2 of Perfectionism and Romantic Relationships.
Da-da-da. Jumping into today's episode, today we're discussing chameleon syndrome and dating. And just a reminder for those who forgot about chameleon syndrome, because we did talk about it in our first series. Mm-hmm. Chameleon syndrome is essentially changing your performance or how you may appear, how people perceive you, to protect you from danger or what you think danger is. And chameleons, they have the ability to change the color of their skin to match their surroundings. So they blend in, they appear a certain way, and they do this to actually protect themselves from danger. Like literal danger.
Yeah. Like literal, like hawks. I don't know. Hawks eat chameleons?
Well, I was just telling you. I was just telling Anna at work, we have these baby ducklings, and every spring they're just out at the practice facility where I work. Anyway, and they have like 9 little ducklings, but by the end of the summer, there's only like 3 that make it out alive. Because there's these hawks that like circle around, and apparently they just go down there and swoop up a little duckling and to eat it for lunch.
Literally so horrible.
So that's probably why you thought of a hawk.
Because hawks are on my blacklist right now. Yeah. If you guys don't know, ducks are my one of 2 favorite animals of all time.
What's your second one?
A panda bear.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So hawks, not a fan.
Other things that eat chameleons, I guarantee you they're hiding from them.
Yeah. They hide from all things that eat them.
And in perfectionism, we do this like a lot of different ways, but I think first it's important to identify like why would we quote unquote like be a chameleon to perceive like what danger? Like we're not actually gonna die, we're not gonna get hurt. Like what is the danger that we are trying to avoid through being chameleons?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is being rejected, not being liked,
mm-hmm.
not being able to control what people think of you,
mm-hmm. being embarrassed, being abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a lot of like painful things. And I think the human mind is like wired to be afraid of some things to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And those things that are perceived like danger really aren't actually that dangerous, which we're going to dig into a little bit. But when we are afraid of these things, it will cause us to change how we behave so we avoid these things.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily being like two-faced.
No, it's not. I think it's showcasing the version of yourself that you know other people will respond well to.
Yeah. So give an example for us.
I mean, dating apps, of course, are like a textbook answer for this, right? Like, what is a dating app? A dating app is for you to showcase your absolute best self to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Your best pictures, your most clever one-liners. Now they have voice memos on there.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so you can like sing to someone or just like talk so they know what your voice sounds
like. Oh, okay. I thought you meant like in a bio.
No, they do.
Oh my gosh.
No, they do. No, in your bio. They'll like have a section where like you answer questions, you post photos, and it's like there, you could put a voice memo in there if you want.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like dating apps, of course, right, are a place where you showcase a version of yourself that you know is acceptable to you because it's your best self. And then that's what you display and showcase to everyone else. And not to say dating apps are bad. They're not bad. But that can be very paralleled to how we act all the time, right? We
mm-hmm.
we make ourselves look the way that we know other people will like. And again, that's not, and I don't want to say that's wrong either, because like, for example, if you're in a professional business setting, you want to act professionally. And so that's not, it's not bad to cater yourself to different situations. Of course, people are all going to act different when they're with their friends, their family, at work, etc. But where it gets deeper is when you are really like you're only showcasing who you are to people because you want them to like you.
Yeah. You know? And it's not even like it. I think what it is too is it's not like all of who you are. It's just parts that like you are picking and choosing, but you're not letting yourself actually be seen.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you don't want to open yourself up to everyone, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that, I mean, you know, there are parts of yourself that you should keep until someone's earned your trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
one thing I thought of is a friend of mine from high school who is really good at freestyle rapping. Like, he's so good at it. And we were just driving with a group of friends, and some other people were just trying to like freestyle or whatever. But perfectionism sometimes doesn't let you try something new unless you can do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was like trying with them and everything. And it was back then when I was like less it was funny because I like thought less what people cared to me a little bit then. As I've gotten older, I've started to care more, but now I'm getting a little bit better. Don't worry. Anyway, I just remember being like, I don't even want to try because I can't do it perfectly. So I'll just come up with like something else. Oh, okay, or like, yeah, I'll rehearse something in my mind right now. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Yep. But we just take those things to a different level where it's like, you are only going to show what you're comfortable showing. And you're not going to like let there be any room for error or uncertainty, mm-hmm, or something you didn't plan for.
That's where it is. Yeah.
Because you lose control. You lose the sense of control.
That's totally what it is. That's totally what it is. Yeah. You articulated that very well. It's not necessarily showing all of yourself all the time, but it's being okay showing parts of yourself that you're not completely confident in. Mm-hmm. Right? Like what you just said, that you're not completely rehearsed in.
Yeah. Because we have to detach from that, again, that like perceived danger.
Yeah.
It's letting go of that because you can still act professional in a professional setting and not talk about maybe something you wouldn't in a professional setting, like what you did over the weekend or family drama or maybe politics. Like, mm-hmm, I don't know, you might avoid things that seem unprofessional because you're simply trying to be professional, but not because you're afraid of how people will see you. You're not afraid of like being embarrassed. Like you're detaching from that danger.
Yep.
And you can still be genuine to yourself,
yep,
you know.
Yep, which comes up all the time in dating, right? Like that comes up all the time in dating, especially on first dates.
Yes,
because you want to impress them. And it's okay to want to impress them. It's okay to want to, you know, try to establish a connection that you're wanting, and to, yeah, do that in a way that requires you to, you know, cater yourself a little bit. But I like what you said, where we don't let ourselves be uncomfortable. We don't let ourselves have a lack of control. And often when you don't have control is usually when the best connections are made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to share an example. Anna and I actually went on a double date together.
Yeah, we did.
And I didn't know the gentleman that took me on the date, and she didn't know her date. Mm-hmm. But Anna and my date knew each other. So it was kind of like this setup situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was so proud of myself because something I historically struggle with is like when I have an opinion that might be contrary to the opinion of the group, like I don't share it. But I've been doing that. I've been like letting go kind of what people think of me. So in this situation, we were talking about films, about movies. And the movie Tenet came up.
Freaking Tenet.
And like, I do not like the movie Tenet. I did not think it was a great movie. I could give you 100 reasons why. Maybe not that many, but like, I have reasons. And one of my peeves is when people are like, oh, then you just didn't understand it.
It was just above
you. It was just
you.
Too, like, complicated for you. Like, Christopher Nolan really is a super, like, complicated director and blah, blah, blah. I was just like, okay. Like, then you explain it. Okay, anyway, I'm veering off from the date.
When, no, but when you were like, well, then you explain it, they never can.
No.
That's the thing, when you're like, okay, then explain it to me. The person's like, well, it's just that Christopher Nolan's, like, just, like, a genius. And that's all.
It's, like, true. But anyway, it, like, the points were irrelevant. But I instead of being agreeable, I chose to like bring up something that actually like I don't agree with you. I didn't like it, and like that's okay. I wasn't afraid of what they would think of me after saying I didn't like the movie Tenet. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, what is he gonna think of me?
Yeah,
like what if he won't? What if he thinks I'm coming on too strong? What if he thinks blah blah blah, like
he thinks you're too much or not enough
or not enough. Or like, what if he thinks my opinion's dumb?
Yep.
Or what if he questions me about my opinion and I don't know what to say? Like, I didn't think any of that. You can just say it. And mm-hmm. I know that is such a minor like example, but it was one of the first ones that came to my mind because I didn't care what they thought. And that doesn't mean I don't care about them as people.
Oh yes.
Like you can let go of like what they think of you and still care about them.
Yeah.
But also still share your genuine opinion.
Yeah. And the reason, again, the reason that we don't share our opinions is because if we take it back to being a chameleon, right? When a chameleon isn't blending in with what's around it, it is putting itself in danger of potentially being attacked or eaten. And so, like if we, you know, take that in this instance by Alicia saying like, oh, I actually didn't like that movie. She's not blending in, right? Like she's not going with the flow. She's not going along with what's happening. And that danger that she's opening up herself up to is kind of what she just talked about, where they think that that really at the root of it is just that they'll think less of or differently of you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what perfectionists are so afraid of, especially in dating. Like, I don't want them to think differently of me. I don't want them to think less of me. And so I'm going to do whatever I need to do to maintain this opinion that usually
that I know that they'll like.
That I know that they'll like. And usually that first, that opinion is curated from a first impression that perfectionists have perfected, mm-hmm. because we are really good at meeting people and getting them to like us. Like,
yeah,
because we've done it so many times, and because that's usually a pain point for people just when you're starting off as a human. It's like meeting people and getting them to like you, right? Even since we're little kids. And so if you're a perfectionist, you've perfected that. And so it's maintaining that first impression and not wanting to let go of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite television shows is Survivor. And the first winner of Survivor is a white gay male. His name's Richard Hatch. And if you don't know Survivor, basically you just want a bunch of people to like you so that you can vote them off of the island, but also they vote for you to win like $1 million.
So
they need to like you, yeah. But you also need to be strategic and deceptive a little bit. Anyway, Richard Hatch talked about he said that his identity as a gay man in like corporate America helped him win Survivor because he learned how to be a chameleon, basically.
Whoa.
He's like, I've learned how to tailor myself to people so I know that they'll like me.
Whoa.
And I can be like, I know how to like put myself out there enough where it's like, oh, he's like this and that, and he can control them in a way that they think they know him, but he's like, they don't really know me. I just am so good at hiding who I really am.
Oof.
And this was way back in what, like in 2000, the year 2000. Yeah. So like the workplace still wasn't very friendly to LGBTQ people. Mm-hmm. And so he had to learn how to like hide that part of himself to still be liked.
And I love that, because that touches on this point where one of the reasons we do this is because if you're putting a version of yourself that you know someone will like, even if it stems from real parts of you, if that version gets rejected, that hurts way less than who you are really getting rejected. Mm-hmm. It puts distance there, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm going to like throw this thing, you know, this person's way. And if they don't like it, it's not going to hurt as bad. Whereas having them super up close and rejecting you hurts way, way more.
Yeah.
So that plays a ton in dating, because even like before I was more assertive with things like this, like it even be something as simple as here's the thing.
What is it?
Here is the thing. I cannot stand going on dates to mini golf and arcades. Cannot stand it. If I'm dating someone, then yeah, it's fine. But even then, like, I just don't like it. Like, not my jam. And for the longest time, I mean, I'm in Provo, Utah. What else do you do on a date? For the longest time, people would say, like, you know, guys would ask me, I'd be like, oh, we're going to go to the arcade. And I literally wouldn't just be like, okay, cool. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I love arcades. I'm like, I can't wait.
And inside, she's like, I hate arcades.
I'm like, I hate arcades. I hate him. I hate today. Like, not really. But I would just go along with it because it's these silly things, right? Where it's like, okay, if someone were going to think less of me because I don't like an arcade, do I even want to go out with them? But if you're a perfectionist, you're not caring about that. All you're caring about is that they think well of you,
mm-hmm.
at all times.
Yeah. And this is, it's so funny because chameleon syndrome, no matter how good you are or how bad you are at it, is not like, there's consequences long term. And we date people because we want to find a connection, like a romantic connection, an emotional connection, an intellectual connection to this mm-hmm. person. And if you're not bringing your authentic self to the table, then that connection is only going to go so far.
Yep.
And Brené Brown says that perfectionism prevents you from being seen. She relates it to like that shield that you're holding, right? That you're yep. holding up. And holding up that shield constantly is like exhausting. That's not something you can sustain. So perfectionism and chameleon syndrome is actually preventing you from the very thing that you want. But it is uncomfortable to like get there.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Totally.
And I think like when you do start being more authentic, even if someone, let's pretend, even if someone does change their opinion about you and they reject you, you feel hurt, you might feel embarrassed, abandoned, blah, XYZ, whatever, after you are your true self, you don't want that connection anyway.
Yes.
Right? Like if I were going back to that date, if I were on that date and I brought up that I did not like Tenet and they were like, oh, seriously? Like this is not going to work.
This is a deal breaker.
I'm like, oh, great. Like, thank you for saying that. I'm so glad I said that so that we don't have to waste each other's time.
Yeah. Thanks for weeding yourself out.
Yeah. Like yeah. Perfect. And no knock on anyone because... Yeah. And it's funny, like that would be so funny if that actually happened. Could you imagine? Maybe it has.
I bet there's some Tenet fanatic out there who that
well, honestly, like if someone said they didn't like Survivor and not only they didn't like it but they hated it, I would be like, oh, this is not gonna work.
No, that'd be a deal breaker for
like,
you
it's
for that, sure.
It's Survivor's like half of my personality.
Yeah,
at this point.
No, it's great.
But anyway, like even if you are, let's pretend the thing you're actually afraid of really does happen, mm-hmm. then you didn't want that connection.
Yes.
So it's good.
Yes. Because the thing about perfectionism, generally, perfectionism doesn't let you specialize in anything, right? It doesn't let you, if you're really good at being a friend, then it's like, great, keep being really good at being a friend. But then you also need to be good at giving advice. You also need to be a good sister. You also need to be good at everything, right? Like it doesn't let you lean into what you're good at. And that goes the same for relationships. It doesn't let you lean into and narrow in on certain relationships that you find more meaningful and valuable. You have to have a good standing, meaningful relationship with everyone. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you're a failure. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. And that's the same, right, within dating, right? We want everyone to like us. We want everyone to maintain a good opinion of us. And perfectionism, like that's what it wants. It doesn't want you to be able to get your tribe, I guess, right? Like I always, my ideal scenario with people in my life is I just want whoever's around me, whether it's a million people or five, whoever it is, I want to be obsessed with them and I want them to be obsessed with me, mm-hmm. romantically or not, but especially romantically.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Like, I don't want anyone who's lukewarm, right?
It's like, they're either, like, I like her. Yeah.
She's fine. I'm like,
like, she's cool.
You're fine to leave. Like, I don't, like, we can be done, you know, like, we don't have to keep doing this. So, and perfectionism doesn't like that, right? Because it attaches that failed relationship or not perfect
relationship. She's doing quotes, by the way.
Yeah.
Quote unquote failed.
Failed. Sorry, I tried so hard to voice act that. Failed.
You probably did, but I just wanted to be sure.
No, I'm glad that you did. That failed relationship, as it attaches it to your worth and your identity. And suddenly mm-hmm. there's something wrong or undesirable or whatever about you. And here's the thing. Everyone has undesirable things about them. Mm-hmm. Everyone does. And on the flip side of that, everyone has lovable things about them. But just because something is lovable about you doesn't mean that it will automatically be loved.
Yes. And the thing is, too, in romantic relationships, you cannot, like, pick and choose the parts you love about someone. Like, you have to love all of that person. Mm-hmm. The good and the bad. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, oh, I mean, I love this part so much, we'll just ignore this part over here. And I, you know, just want to share like a little bit about my divorce.
Yeah.
I think one consequence of getting married young is that people don't really know who they are and they're trying to like figure themselves out. And my ex-husband ended up deciding that he didn't believe the same faith as me, right? And we mm-hmm. wanted to like leave this faith and figure out his own thing and his own spiritual journey and whatever. And I think one thing that we had discussed through like the separation is he had known this for a long time, but was like afraid to share this, right? Cause that is terrifying to share.
Yeah, no, it's scary.
Like it's a big deal. And there were things about myself too, that I probably held back and didn't bring fully to the table. But when you're so afraid of what that person would say, you might not want to say anything. Mm-hmm. But then, like, eventually it has to come out because then both people would be unhappy, right? Like, I wanted my ex-husband to go and live his life and find, like, that spiritual journey he's looking for, what might ring more true to him. And I want to find, like, what's true to me. Mm-hmm. And imagine if he, like, never said that and just, like, kept being a chameleon.
That'd be so miserable for him.
For him and for both of you,
yeah.
Right? And that definitely not fair to him, definitely not fair to me. But I told Anna, I'm like, this is the evidence of like a long-term repercussion of chameleon syndrome.
Yes.
Is, you know, relationships don't work out. And the more like upfront you are, And the more you know yourself, which is something we're going to dig into, mm-hmm. then the more authentic you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, like, you'll be less afraid of that hurt, rejection, and embarrassment because you're okay. Like,
yeah,
you're okay on your own. But anyway, yeah, there was something else I was going to say. So I talked to Eli before this episode and I asked him about chameleon syndrome and his thoughts because Eli is like arguably one of the best people I know about just being himself.
Yeah.
Like Shameless. Just truly being himself, yeah. like around every, like he doesn't change who he is based mm-hmm. on who he's with,
mm-hmm.
which like, obviously that's the opposite of a chameleon. So I kind of asked him like, how do you do this? Like, what are your thoughts on this? And blah, blah, blah. So he said, one, it's just like a lot of a confidence thing, like being confident in who he is and being well aware of his strengths and his weaknesses and being comfortable with those things. The second thing that he said that was interesting is nothing is more important than putting your true self first.
Oh, I like that.
Like putting your true self first. Nothing is more important to him than that because how miserable like would that be? Mm-hmm. Like he talked about how sad that would be. And then he said that it would be stressful to continue to like just please people and not be true to him. Because that's not serving anybody besides the person that like thinks that they like you, but they don't even know you.
But they don't even, yeah, it's literally doing a disservice to them too.
Yeah, but like mostly to you. And I love yeah. that. It's like putting like yourself first in that way. And mm-hmm. that really is such a healthy thing to do and to not compromise who you are
mm-hmm.
or who you want to be. Or what your goals are to please anyone else. Because at the end of the day, it's not their life. It's yours.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing is that when you act that way, people's opinions of you will change. They just will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's when you're not focused on people pleasing, you're going to people displease, right? Like you're going to displease people. And that's okay. Not even just okay. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That is fantastic because then you're able to really, again, narrow down on those relationships where you have an actual true connection with them. And often when you get a connection like that, that's so unique, right? Like, I feel like humans can all connect on some level with each other because we're humans, right? We have enough shared experiences as human beings that we can all connect on something. But in order to be able to find those really deep, unique, once-in-a-lifetime connections, you have to be okay with some other people's opinions changing of you. Because in order to find those important connections, you have to weed out the non-important ones.
Yeah.
And the people who will leave.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And I think one thing that Anna and I have talked about in our definition about connectionism is that perfectionism does reward you, but like at what cost mm-hmm. is it rewarding you? Because sure, people will think highly of you, they might have this really shiny like image of you, but you're not truly connected to them. Like mm-hmm. is that relationship actually rewarding? Like I think of all the people I tried to please in like school or even like presentations or speeches or whatever I gave just to like receive praise. Like the people that did say like, wow, that's so amazing, like you were so incredible, you're so blah blah blah, whatever they said, like I don't have a connection with them. But I yeah. got praise, which was cool, which yeah. like fuels a lot of perfectionism. But like the relationships that you might risk, you might risk losing that image with
mm-hmm.
that's going to be okay. And one of my dear friends, when I found out that they had bipolar, that's a really like sensitive thing to them. It didn't shatter my perfect image of them. And they yeah. thought it would.
Yeah.
They thought it totally would. If anything, it actually made me feel more connected to them and made me realize like that they were more human in a way and I could relate to them more.
Is this the same? Yeah. Our mutual
mm-hmm.
friend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they told us this, it literally just gave me another layer of them to love.
Yeah.
It just gave me more of them totally. To love. Even though it wasn't pretty or flashy or put together or whatever, it actually increased our emotional intimacy with each other. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And emotional intimacy is one of the rewards of connectionism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just itching to talk about connectionism today.
I know, we're gonna like, get keep there. Trying I'm so to excited. Skip to the end.
One of our favorite videos of Will Smith. We still love him, even though he did something wrong on
because
national
guess
television.
What? We're not all perfect. We all have flawed moments, and we're not our flaws.
One of our favorite motivational videos is from Will Smith, pre-slapping someone on television. But we love him just as much afterwards.
Yes, because you are not your flaws.
No, and people are not all or nothing.
Yep.
Anyway, he talks about skydiving, and we actually play it in somewhere in our first series. But anyway, he says that leading up to skydiving, he was just like terrified. Couldn't eat breakfast, couldn't really sleep, felt so sick, like all the way there. But then when he finally got to the point of jumping out of the plane, he felt like bliss. And he says that the point of maximum danger is the point of minimum fear.
Wild.
Like when he's actually falling through the sky, he's mm-hmm. not as afraid as he was riding up in the plane,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. the danger is like reversed.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So I think when you're in a situation where you might perceive a lot of danger and you might be super worried about pain and judgment and rejection, those can actually be moments of points, I guess, of minimum fear and true connection.
Mm-hmm.
I know with a lot of my closest relationships today, whether that's my family or Eli or Anna or friends, like I have opened up to them in certain ways, and it can be uncomfortable. It can be a little bit scary, but as you get into it, the relationship will either flourish or you can realize this isn't a good relationship for me, and that's okay.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Because if you think about it, I mean, skydiving, yeah, you have a parachute, but if you want to talk about a lack of control, skydiving, I think, is one of the most, skydiving is one of the environments where you have the least control. You're literally falling through the sky. Like, and yeah, you have a parachute that you can pull, blah, blah, blah. But until that parachute's pulled, you have nothing to hold on to. You have nothing. You're just falling to your death. And again, he says, he's like, and at that point where the danger was the highest, the fear was the lowest, and it was bliss. I love that he calls mm-hmm. that it was bliss. And I think all of us can relate to that, that when we have these deep connections and we have these amazing moments with people, it feels blissful. But think about everything you had to do to get to that point. You had to open yourself up. You had to be vulnerable. You had to be uncomfortable, unsteady, unsure. You had to show parts of yourself that you hadn't rehearsed before, right?
Mm.
And you get to show that to someone, and it's blissful, right?
It
can be blissful when it's reciprocated yeah. and it's the right person.
Yeah, because I do want to say, like, I have had extremely painful situations when the chute does not deploy and you land flat on your face. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm going to have an episode about divorce, like, in this series, but we had some serious, some of the most vulnerable conversations. And you know what? It ended in pain I had never felt before.
Mm.
But like, I'm good. Like, I recovered.
You're
like,
flourishing.
It's so much. And it's not even like, oh, I recovered. Like, I'm okay. Like, I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so, so happy.
Yeah.
And I think, like, in the pain that you feel when you do open up and it doesn't go the way that you plan, it gives you, first of all, more practice to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, like, show a lot of compassion to yourself, because however bad the conversation went or whatever, you're going to go home and it's just going to be you. And you need to be, like, your support and your rock, your own best friend in that way. Like, so if it fails or doesn't go well, I guess I should say, then it gives you practice. You learn that that relationship isn't great for you.
Or great right now.
Or great right now.
Right, yeah.
Or has room to grow,
mm-hmm.
whatever it might be. But either way, you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I may have said this in the last episode, but my therapist Joe said in relationships, whatever point they're at, whether you're married, whether you're just meeting, whether you're dating, you're engaged, whatever, we should focus less on the outcome of the relationship and more on the experience and the wisdom we're gaining in the moment yep. and through that relationship
yep.
and the knowledge you're gaining about yourself too. Yep. So whether it's the first date, whether it's whatever, like, focus on the experience of that thing instead of how is this going to end? What is the outcome? And then I think you can, I mean, circling back to Will Smith, then you can enjoy, like, that free fall, right?
Yep.
You can enjoy the fall through the air and not worry about anything else.
Totally. Totally. Which leads us to our favorite part of the episode, connectionism, which we love.
I love it.
We love connectionism because it's right. It's the opposite of perfectionism. It's leaning into these moments where you're unsure. And I think we, in our definitions in the past, we've talked about how connectionism requires dark moments for you to connect with someone. And we've since kind of changed that. It's not just dark moments. It's vulnerable moments. Because we've talked about this. Positive emotions can be vulnerable too. So it's leaning into these uncertain, vulnerable moments to increase emotional intimacy. And something we had just talked about a few minutes ago is how perfectionism doesn't let you specialize, right? And there's that saying, you're a jack of all trades and a master of none.
I love that saying.
That is a perfectionist's mutual bio. Like, that is, like, all you need to know about them is they are jack of all trades. They can fit in any situation, handle any moment, or at least they think they can or want to be able to, but they haven't specialized or mastered any certain thing, including any certain relationships. And so you want to lean into those connections that are real and strong.
Mm-hmm. Because jack of all trades, like, you could have 1,000 relationships with people, but master none of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, none of them are actually deep.
Yeah.
Like,
and someone commented on, we have an Instagram if you didn't know, and we post affirmations every Monday that we love. And someone commented after our affirmations yesterday or today, and he's like, dang, well then why am I still single? And I don't know this man. I don't know why he's single, but I think some of us are wondering that, right? We're like, why are we single? Like, why can't I get in a relationship? And that's part of it, is because you're not willing. That might be part of it, right? There's so many reasons relationships don't work out and dating doesn't work out. I would know. But that might be part of it, where you're not willing to go there with someone because it's scary and terrifying, because it is. And so then you have all of these shallow relationships, right? And you never get into a solid, healthy, good, deep relationship because perfectionism won't let you, because it's because you're out of control in those moments and it won't even go there, you know? And so the value of honest connections is much deeper than the chameleon connections. Every time. Hands down.
Every single
time. So I was talking to a friend and I asked him, I was like, would you rather walk into a room and have everyone in the room immediately like you, or have a few people in the room who are just obsessed with you? And he didn't even hesitate. He was like, oh, I'd rather have everyone like me, for sure. Like, hands down. Like, I don't care. And not to say there's anything inherently, like, wrong with that, but I think that is a very perfectionist mindset, right? Everyone wants to be liked, right? And that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome to walk into a room. But if, for me, if it was either or, where I could either have everyone like me or a few people obsessed with me, I'd choose the other one, right? Yeah. I would choose those connections where they know me and they stuck around.
Yeah, totally. And I think when, I think the power of a real, authentic, genuine connection is that all of the people know you, your good and not so good sides, or the parts that you like and the parts you may not like, and they still choose to be with you. They still choose to be your friend. They still choose to be your partner. They, like, and I mean, with familial it's different, but in terms of romantic relationships, it's a choice to love them. It's a choice to stay. And if you are sheltering, like, genuine parts of yourself, or, like, hiding them, then you're also doing them a disservice, because they can't choose to, like, love all of you if you don't show it. So I would totally choose having some people love me and know me than everyone liking me. And Anna and I were kind of teasing about this, because we were like, we already do know what it's like to walk into a room and have everyone like because we've been chameleons forever
and we've mastered the craft.
And that's also, like, a total joke. We're like, there's totally people who don't like aware us. that there are people who do not like us. And that's fine. Kidding. Like, I'm totally okay with that. No, just kidding. But another quote that Brene Brown has, shoot, I'll actually have to find it really quick, but it's basically about, I'm not even gonna worth, hold on.
Oh, you're good. While you're looking that up, I love it. Where you said, before, you were like, you don't have to, like, you can't cherry pick what you love about someone. You have to love everything about them. And I think also with what you just said, it's not even necessarily that, like, you have to love everything about the person you're with. Cause there, like you just said, there are things about that person you're going to, like, really not like, sometimes hate, right? If it's something little, like how they chew their gum, to something major, like they can't communicate with you, right? Like, there's going to be things, but you can't choose, like how you'd said earlier, to ignore those parts of them. You have to acknowledge those parts of them, and you love them as a whole person. Because I worry someone's going to hear that and be like, oh, if my relationship is bad and there's things about this person I don't like, I just need to learn to love it and stay in it. Obviously, don't do that. Obviously, use your discretion. But if you've, you know, if there's someone in your life that you've chosen to be with and you want to be with them and you know that, you have to accept the dark and light parts of them and love them as a person and not break them into this black and white thinking, right? Of like, oh, there's this part I don't like about you, so I'm going to put that over here and compartmentalize you, because no one wants to be compartmentalized by someone.
Exactly. Thank you for adding on to that. While I was just looking for her quote, I was like, I'm not even going to pretend to like summarize it because I will butcher it. So, okay. She says, I don't have the full, I couldn't find the full thing, but so just before this, it's basically like, running from your true self is exhausting. Okay. Something mm-hmm. to that sentiment. And then she says, only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. And this leads into kind of connectionism with yourself in a way.
Yes.
And that's being able to accept the dark parts of yourself that you maybe struggle with. And that way, you know, you won't be afraid of showing them as much. You'll be able to be more authentic with people. And then in romantic relationships, they will be able to appreciate maybe those flaws that you have. I'm trying to think of a specific example of like a flaw or a mistake or a shortcoming or a quirk that I have that I've accepted.
Alicia's like, I just can't think of anything.
I'm like, but it's really hard. No, but one that I've like accepted, because one I have is I'm like the worst procrastinator. I'm really bad. And I think part of that might be because I need to get diagnosed with like ADHD or something. But that hasn't happened yet. I'm like, add to my to-do list. But one is that I can be like really sensitive. Mm-hmm. I can be a very like sensitive person, and I can take things personally too mm-hmm. in like a romantic relationship. So like, for example, earlier today, like I struggle some like responding to text messages too, and I'm very detached from my phone. And I know this like hurts people sometimes because I don't respond for a long time. And so this has been like brought to my attention that when I don't respond to people for a while or whatever it might be, like they feel ignored, they feel forgotten or whatever. And sometimes I would take that feedback personally and be like, I am a bad person.
Yep.
They don't like me.
Yep.
They think I am this, this, and that. When in reality, they're just sharing like, hey, I feel this way. Like, and I need this. Need. Yeah, they're just sharing a need, which is totally fine. But my sensitive takes it personal, right? But my sensitivity also makes me a very compassionate person, mm-hmm. a very empathetic person, mm-hmm. and I'm super forgiving.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can be those positive things without also the negative side of being sensitive sometimes.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's like, I'm a sensitive person and people love that about me, but hey, this is also a downfall of being sensitive.
Yep.
And it's something I'm working on, is being less, well, taking things less personal, because things aren't always about me and people aren't attacking me, you know?
Yeah, it's two-edged sword.
Did that make sense?
Two-edged sword, yes.
Double-edged sword. Yeah, but this is something I've had to learn about myself through like a lot of therapy, through obviously going mm-hmm. through something mm-hmm. hard like divorce. I learned a lot about my sensitivity through that, and just spending time with myself and taking time to get to know myself and like journal or whatever to learn more about my flaws and my mistakes and shortcomings, and I start to appreciate them too.
Yeah. Yep. I love that.
I really hope that made sense.
No, it totally made sense. Totally made sense. And I always, there's a word I keep wanting to say, and I don't know if it's right. It's like the verb form of an analogy, analogize. That's more important. Analogize. I don't know what it would be, but I want
to
like
compare this to.
Yes, I always want to compare this to like someone. This really reduces dating down to the bane of Provo, which is sales. But I always think of it as like a salesman who's going door to door, right? And the best salesmen are the ones who know their products intimately and are confident in them, right? When you're confident in something, what that means is that you are confident, you are sure, you are secure in what that product or that thing will do. And you also just as well are aware of, intimately aware of, the downfalls of that product and why the good parts of that product outweigh the why they're worth still buying that product, right? You're confident in what you're selling. And so much of dating, I hate to make it seem like this, but so much of dating is us selling ourselves to someone, right? Like, or selling someone onto us, right? Where we're like, no, like, trust me, like, I'm the shiz, right?
Sounds like prostitution.
I know, that sounds really horrible. Yourself. Please don't take it that way. But like, it's being, the whole basis of being confident is knowing what you have to work with and knowing it well enough and getting to know yourself enough that when someone else wants to be part of the picture, you're confident enough in what you've got that you're like, oh yeah, come on in. Like, I, you know, I can handle this. I can handle you. You can handle me because I know what I'm working with. And so that's a huge part of it. And everything that you just talked about, Leisha, journaling, taking yourself on dates, getting to know yourself, going to fetching therapy, like just getting to know who you are and being okay, being so happy and exhilarated about the good parts of yourself and then getting to know the dark parts of yourself. And I love how you talked about how you wouldn't have the light parts, some of them, without the dark parts.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And seeing the virtues in yourself that are existent because of the vices.
Yeah, like we can't cut them in half and choose to hide half of them.
Yeah,
because they're so intertwined.
Yes,
like our identities and our brains as human people, like it's so, it's obviously like all connected.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, what was I just gonna say?
What was she gonna say?
I guess I'll just say, like, being your own, being comfortable with who you are and being comfortable with yourself is so relieving. And sorry, I feel like I've brought up divorce a lot in this one because I think chameleon syndrome related a lot to my situation.
It played a huge role, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I got to a point through my separation and divorce process where I could confidently say to myself, even if I never found someone again, I could be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could be, and it's not even like I would just settle for happiness. Like, I would be happy because I have me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, I love me. I love a lot of things about myself. I have family. I have friends. Like, I'm learning about myself and becoming more comfortable with just who I am on my own. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to, like, desperately sell the product of who I am to someone else to feel successful.
Yeah. And we've talked about a quote before. It's an Abraham Lincoln quote where he says, I don't like that man. I must get to know him better. And you can apply that to yourself, right? I think actually one of our listeners actually pointed that out to us. I can't remember, but I know you little golden children. I don't know what that was, but basically saying, like, I don't like myself. I must get to know myself better. Because when you get to know yourself better, because I think it's so often, it drives you crazy. People are like, you just need to love yourself. You just need to, like, be yourself and, like, love yourself. And I'm always, like, growing up, I was like, okay, but literally how? Like, I'm like, literally, how do I do it? And they're like, just do it. Like, just love yourself. And I'm like, okay. And you really do get to love yourself by getting to know yourself. And the reason people don't like themselves, or a big reason they don't like themselves, is because they're afraid to confront the things about themselves that they're uncomfortable with. Those things about themselves that they're not totally sold on and that they don't have a lot of control over, whether it's physical stuff, personality traits, past history, trauma, whatever it is. And because they're afraid to approach that, they'll never be able to embrace that. And so they're always that, as unconfident as they are with it, in within themselves, they're even less confident when it comes to other people being in the picture.
Exactly. Before we jump into our takeaways, I just wanted to read one more time the definition of connectionism.
Yes.
That Anna and I wrote together.
Yes.
Connectionism is the belief that moments of pain, vulnerability, and uncertainty, hint, what chameleon syndrome is afraid of, what perfectionism is afraid of,
ding, ding, ding,
are opportunities for increased relational intimacy that can only be created by embracing imperfect moments without judgment or shame. So perfectionism deems very scary the things that are actually necessary for connection.
Yep. Yep.
That kind of rhymed and I didn't even mean it to.
You're a poet.
I am a freestyle rapper. Just kidding.
It's come full circle. I love it. Well, with that, we will go into some takeaways.
Will you sing it, though?
Takeaways.
Oh, my gosh, Anna. You angel.
I should quit my day job.
You should. Too bad you're too busy running Crumble into success.
I'm too successful.
She is.
Not at all.
Okay, number one is to catch yourself when you are being a chameleon. The first step is just honestly try to identify it. And don't even worry about changing the behavior yet. Just identify it. And then with time, I think you'll recognize it more and change.
Yep.
Be more true to yourself.
Yep. You don't even have to change everything right now, mm-hmm. right? You can just notice it. Number two is the safety of being a chameleon is not worth what you are risking. And what you are hiding from is risky, but it's not as risky as never being seen.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, get to know yourself. Wow. Okay. Lastly, getting to know yourself is rewarding pain, effort, and discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rewarding, girl. Just love yourself. We love you. Thank you for listening.
Follow us on socials. We've got an Instagram at Popping Perfectionism.
We love hearing from you. Mm-hmm. So feel free to DM us, write a review.
Yeah. If you guys could review, it'd be awesome. It helps us so much on our end. Literally takes 4 seconds. It would be awesome. Even if you hate us. Maybe don't if you hate us, but.
Thank you so much for listening. My name's Alicia.
My name is Anna.
And this is Popping Perfectionism.